Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim. We're going to finish up Yezus Hashem Daf Yud Gimel and also do Yud Dalet to help make up for the Yom Tovim where we can't dictate the share. Today is the first day of Chol HaMoed in Chutz La'aretz, and we're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Margot Kaufman, Bela Bas Rav Yonah HaKohen. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin with the brand new Perek, the fifth Perek, which starts towards the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And we begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Elu heim ha-mimunim shahaya b'mikdash. The following are the list of people that were in charge of various activities in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see in the Gemara, there are really two ideas over here. Either that these were the first people that were in charge, and subsequently, like we have with other positions of leadership, the leaders were named after the first person. So, for example, Paro was a king, Abimelech was a king, and all the subsequent kings were also known as Paro and Abimelech. It's not just one person. So, too, these positions of authority in the Beis HaMikdash, one opinion has it that the first people that had that name were the names of that position, and subsequent people took the same name. Others say no, that the Tana of our Mishnah wrote the most illustrious people to have that position, and that's why those are listed over here in the Gemara. In any event, the Mishnah starts and tells us the following are the people that were in charge, Mamunim, in certain activities in the Beis HaMikdash. So the first one is Yochanan ben Pinchas. He was in charge of Alachosomos. The Gemara will explain that there were chits, there were pieces of paper that a person purchased when he needed to buy various libations, both wine and flour libations that came along with certain korbanos that a person had to bring. For example, a korban ola or a korban shlamim. So they couldn't go and directly purchase the actual flour or wine offerings or the oil that they may need. Those were the three things that were used. And they would go purchase first a chit that said, yes, I gave this money to Yochanan ben Pinchas, who was in charge of these chits. And then they would go over to the second person, which is Achia. He was in charge, Al HaNesachim. And then they would give him the chit, they would give him the receipt that said, yes, I paid for this amount of Nesachim. The Gemara will go through exactly, the next Mishnah will go through what types of Nesachim they might need. And Achia would actually dispense them the actual Nesachim that they needed. So these were the first two appointees, Yochanan and Pinchas, in charge of these chosamos, these receipts or chits that they would give to Achia, who was in charge of actually dispensing the actual Nesachim that they needed. The next one is Masyo ben Shmuel. He was in charge of Alapayosos. There were various lotteries that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Originally, they didn't have the lotteries. They just had a free-for-all. Whoever got there first would do it. And this led to, as you might expect, some fighting and trouble. So therefore, they changed it to a lottery system. So Masyo ben Shmuel was in charge of the lotteries to make sure that the Kohanim were done in an orderly way to see which coin was given the right that day to do various activities in the Beis HaMikdash. That's Masi ben Shmuel. The next one is Pesachia. We'll see that Pesachia is in charge al Hakinim. Pesachia, the Mishnah tells us, was the one who made sure that the kinim, the bird offerings, were done correctly. We have a whole Masechta kinim, which we didn't do that long ago, which is one of the most difficult Masechtas in terms of all the potential problems that can occur if the olos and the chatos, birds, got mixed together. There are voluntary korbanos, bird offerings, that are two olos. And there are obligatory bird offerings, which include a chatos and an ola. Birds are always brought as a pair, almost always brought as a pair. And therefore, their potential for trouble, because the sacrificial service for the ola is different than the chatos. And therefore, if they get mixed up together, you can have tremendous problems. So you need a very smart Talmud Chacham to be in charge of that. And that's why Pesachia was in charge of the kinyan. Who was Pesachia? The Mishnah tells us this is Mordechai. Is that Mordechai Bilshan? This is Mordechai from the Megillah, from Megillah Esther, from Purim. Why was his name given as Pesachia? Because he was extremely smart and he was able to understand things. He would open up all these difficult questions that they would have and darshan them and answer them. The Gemara will give some examples of situations where people came to him with enigmatic statements, and he was able to figure out what they were talking about. He was extremely smart, and that's why he was in charge of the kinim. Likewise, he knew 70 languages. Remember the Sanhedrin, one of the requirements was that they should know all 70 languages. And he was called Bilshon because he was able to combine all of these Lashonos, Bolel Lashonos, and therefore he was extremely, even above the high level that the Sanhedrin had, he was Mordechai Bilshan, and that's why he was known over here as the one in charge of all these enigmatic statements. The next one is Ben Achia. This person, Ben Achia, was in charge, Acholi Meyayim. He was the doctor. He was the one that was in charge of taking care of the Kohanim that had a higher incidence of GI troubles. We won't really explain why, because they walked barefoot, they had a lot of meat, and they didn't drink wine with it because they weren't allowed to be Shesui Yayin. So therefore, they were more prone to various intestinal problems. So he would take care of them and tell them what type of wine would be good for this type of trouble, what type of wine would be good for that type of a trouble. Next one is Nechunya. He was in charge of Chofer Shichin. He would go and dig the ditches for the Oli Regalim so they should have water. So he was in charge of the water system. And the Gemara will tell us a little bit more about him as well, as with many of these. Gavini, he was the next person. He was the appointee in charge of Koroz. He would be the one that would announce to people. He would make hachrazos. He would make announcements as to when they should start doing the various avodas. The next one is Ben Geber. He was in charge. This person was Mamuna al Ni'ilas Sharm. He was in charge of opening and closing the gates. That's what the Tikkun Chaditah tells us. They had to close the gates at night and they had to open them in the morning. So he was the person in charge of that to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash was appropriately locked and unlocked. The next one is Ben Bavi. He was Mamuna al Hapakia. He was in charge of the Aryushami over here in Shkolim. It tells us that this means the wicks. One of the nisim of Hanukkah was that the oil lasted for the full 8 days. One of the reasons that's given how it was able to last was that they made the wicks thinner or thicker, and it was supposed to last based upon its thickness all night, but then they would run out of oil, so they made the wicks thinner, and therefore it still lasted and was lasted for the 8 days and was as bright as if they hadn't made the wicks thinner. So this is the explanation that Yerushalmi gives, that it was this person, Ben Bavi, was in charge of the wicks for the menorah. And the Bavli, however, gives a different reason. It says that this was certain type of a whip. This bakia was something that the guards would walk around, and if they found any of the Kohanim sleeping or the Levim sleeping on the job, so they would give him a zetz. In any event, that's what Ben Bavi was, Mamuna ala bakia. The next one is Ben Arza. Ben Arza was in charge al hatziltzol. Tziltzol, the Tikkun Chaditin tells us, is a symbol. It's a foreign language word, symbol. And he was in charge to make sure that the musical instrument of the symbol was used properly. The Levim were singers in the Beis HaMikdash. Some of them sang, some of them played the musical instruments. There were others that could play the musical instruments even besides the Levim. And in any event, he was in charge of the musical instruments. Ben Arza made sure that they did the cymbals correctly and other musical instruments as well. The next one is Hugras ben Levi. Now that literally would be translated Hugras, who was the son of Levi, but most of the Mepharshim explain that he was a Levi himself, and he would be in charge of the singing. Obviously the Levim were the ones that were Meshorer. I always mention the name Soloveitchik. The great family name Soloveitchik was because they were Levim, and when they were forced to take a second name, take a last name, so they took the name Soloveitchik, which means a certain type of bird in that language that was a singing bird. So they said, we knew they had a Kabbalah that they were from the singing Levim. The Levim were either Shoarim, the gatekeeper Levim, or they were the singing Levim. Those are the two main tasks that the Levim had. So, in any event, the Levim would sing. So, Hugras ben Levi, he was in charge of the shir to make sure that the singing was done appropriately. Beis Garmu, that's the next family, they were appointed. Al-Maisi lechem upon him. They were experts in making the lechem upon him. The Gemara will talk to us a little bit about how other people couldn't do the lechem upon him. They were able to make the lechem upon him in certain shapes. The Gemara Menachos tells us there were two shapes. Either they were like a box with opening on two sides, or there was like a canoe. And it was very difficult to make the lechem upon him not fall apart. They had to bake them and have them not fall apart. So they were the only ones that knew how to do this, the Beis Garmu. So they were in charge of making the lechem upon him. Likewise, Beis Aptinas, this family was in charge of Maisei Ketores. They were the only ones that knew how to make the Ketores properly. They knew all the ingredients. But more than that, they knew what the Mali Oshin was. The Mali Oshin allowed the Ketores to go straight up and not spread out until it hit the ceiling, and only spread out when it hit the ceiling. Nobody else knew that, so Beis Aptinas was in charge of the Ketores. Finally, the last two. Elazar ala paroches. Elazar was the one in charge of the various different paroches that had to be made and updated and maintained in the Beis HaMikdash. So Elazar was in charge of those paroches. And Pinchas, now we have the Girsa HaMalbish, but it says on the side that the Nusach should be, if you look in the Masoreth Shas, it says Pinchas al HaMalbish. He was the one in charge of making sure that all the Kohanim Gedolim, as well as the regular Kohanim, had the appropriate Big Day Kahuna. Mara starts off and says, Rabbi Chizkiya, I'm Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Chizkiya said Rabbi Simon and the Rabbanan. And they argued with the Rabbanan. We don't know who said what. Chadamar, one of them said, we don't know which one, that he says, Kishere dor vador bo limnos. And we delete the word aleim according to most of the Mepharshim. And this is the opinion that I mentioned that says this was the best person in that posting, so that's the one that the Mishnah mentioned. There were many, many others. They didn't serve for the entire time of the Bayi Sheni. So this person that's mentioned over here as the Mamuna, so he was like the best one, and the position was known after him. The Chavrana Amar, either Chisya Amar Simon or the Rabbanan, they said no. Mishaya Ba'usadar, Mona Masha Bedora. Whoever was the author of a Mishnah listed the person that was in charge in his day. No, later Tana would list a different person, but the Tana of a Mishnah listed the one that was in charge in his day. Now, in our Gemara, we have from here until the bottom of the Amud in parentheses. So we'll follow the gears of the Gra in Os Aleph, which says as follows. Taman Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah in Yuma, actually two Mishnahs in Yuma, on Daf Yud Zayin and Daf Yud Ches. The first one lists a number of great people from the Beis HaMikdash of Zocha L'Tov, and the second Mishnah seems to list some that are not Zocha L'Tov, Shem Rishoyim Yirkav, although we see that some of them are really also Zecher Tzadik Levrocha in the second Mishnah as well. So the Gra has the Girsa here, Taman Tanina, we learned over there in the Mishnayis in Yuma, Al Rishonim Nemar Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, the first group in the Mishnah on Yud Zayin. We say that those great people did wonderful things, and that Mishnah lists a number of great people, including Ben Gamla, who he made the pious, the lotteries, originally made out of some sort of wood, and he magnified the glory by making it out of gold. Then you had Ben Kotin. So he made the kiar have 12 spigots in it, so all the Kohanim could do their washing at the same time for the carbon tumid in the morning. Then it mentions Munvaz, so he made the yadayim of the kalim, the handles of the kalim, out of gold. And Hilni Amalka, so she made the nivreshes, which is a certain type of a structure there, out of gold as well. And Nicanor made the Shari Nicanor. So therefore, these five people were Zecha Tzadik Levracha, they're listed positively in the first Mishnah. And then the Gra continues, Val Eila, Nemar, Shem Rishon, Yirkov. Then it says in the next Mishnah that the following are, unfortunately, not for good. The names of the wicked people should be spoiled. It should rot. Now, that's what it says in that Mishnah. Now, in the second Mishnah, it lists a number of people. It will tell us the Beis Garmu, the Beis Aftinas, and Hugas Alevi, which over here seem to be mentioned in a very positive way. So we'll learn it that those are also mentioned in a positive way. And it's only the last one, Ben Kantzer. We'll learn about the first three in a moment here in our Gemara. Our Gemara doesn't mention Ben Kamtzer. Ben Kamtzer knew how to write the Yud Kei Vav Kei simultaneously. That family, they could put four pens in their hands, and they could write the Yud Kei Vav Kei Shem of HaKodesh Baruch Hu all simultaneously. And they didn't teach that to anybody else, and therefore they were considered Shem Rishon Yirkov. The grouping of Beis Garmu, Beis Aftinas, and Hugras Halevi, so these people had explanation why they didn't want to teach anybody else their secrets, and therefore, while it was accepted, it was still not that they were Zocho Latov, but at least they were in Shem Misharm Yirkov. In any event, the Gra continues over here, and he says, Mandi Omar Kishe Reidar Vadar, I don't know if I pronounced that word correctly before. It's Kishe Redar Vadar, the holiest, the best people of all time. That's the ones that are listed over here. So that makes sense. Balimno Saleim, that's the one that they're mentioning over here. Hu Omer Zecha Tzadik Levracha. And all of the Zecha Tzadik Levracha goes on all of them, including the Hugras Halevi over here, and the Beis Atinas, and the Beis Garmu. As opposed to Mandi Omar Misha Ba'osodor, the one that just mentions whoever happens to be in their generation, so Mono Ma Shebedoro, he just mentions whichever one is in his generation, Aminemar Zecha Tzadik Levracha, Aben Kotin V'Chaveru. So it only goes on the first Mishnah in Yuma, but it doesn't go on the second Mishnah in Yuma. It only goes on the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin Omid Aleph, and it doesn't go on the Mishnah on Lamed Ches. Now we turn to Yud Gimel Omid Beis. Gemara says, Amar Biyona, Rabbi Yona says, the following pasuk continues along with the idea of Zecha Tzadik Levracha. The pasuk in Yishai tells us, Lochein achalik lo borabim v'yasatzumim yichalik sholo. What does this mean? This is a reference to Zer Rabbi Akiva. Why is this a reference to Rabbi Akiva that I give him a special portion, achalik lo, I give him a chalek, borabim, amongst all the people, v'yasatzumim, and I will give the mighty, Yechali Sholo, they'll get to go and take all the spoils. This is a reference to Rabbi Akiva. Zer Rabbi Akiva, Shehiskin, and we add the word over here from the Nuschos HaBavli, Mishnah, Umedrish, Halochos, V'Agodos. So he was the one that codified all of the Mishnayis, the Medrish, the Halochos, and the Agodos. So Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim are really the forerunners of our Mishnah that Rabbi, who was a Talmid of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So Rebbe redacted the Mishnayis and put them into the order that we had them, but it really was Rabbi Akiva who did all of this, and therefore he is given this position of great stature. And therefore, it says about him, Zecha Tzadik Levracha, that he was given all of this praise because of what he did. Others say, no, it was even before Rabbi Akiva. It was on Al Anshei Knesset HaGedola Tiknu. These Mishnayis, the Medrash, the Halachos, and the Agados were even before Rabbi Akiva, and only Rabbi Akiva codified it even more, and Rabbi codified it even more. Elamati kenzeh. What did Rabbi Akiva do? That he's given this, that they agree that this pasuk goes about Rabbi Akiva because he did klolus u'protos. He did a lot of fine tuning and darshening. The Yud Gimel Midosh Torah Nidreshim, we say the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, they really came from Rabbi Akiva as well, and all the other dinim, klolus and protos of how to darshan the Torah. So we have the famous story that Moshe Rabbeinu saw they were descendant Rabbi Akiva that would be darshi and tilei tilos, mounds and mounds of halachos from little kutzim, from little curlicues on the top of the letters, the little tagim on top of the letters, and Rabbi Akiva was able to make unbelievable drushos from even those little lines on the tops of the letters. So Rabbi Akiva is given great praise over here because he did all these klolos and protos. Mark Tinian says, Amar Rabbi Avohu, Ksiv, the Pasuk tells us, Mishpechos Sofrim Yoshvi Yaivitz. What does this Pasuk mean? This Pasuk is from Divrei HaYamim, and it tells us that the Sofrim, they were the people who counted, they lived in this place called Yaivitz. So, Ma Talmud Lomar Sofrim, why did the Talmid Chachamim call the Mishpochos over here called Sofrim? To teach us, Elish Osu HaSatorah, Sephorah, Sephorah, that they made lots of mnemonics, they made numbers. When they said a certain din, they would say there's 6 things about this din, there's 12 things about that din, in order to help people remember it. Remember, they did everything by heart. The Torah Shebichsav was allowed to be written down, but the Torah Shebichsav couldn't be written down. So they had to figure out ways to help people remember it. So they made all of these mnemonics with numbers. So Elish also said Torah, Sephorah, Sephorah, they made all these numbers. For example, now, the Tikkun Chanitin tells us over here that this is basically following the Mishnayis. It gives us 7 examples over here, and it follows the Seder of the Mishnayis, Zman Nokat, Zeroyim, Moed, Noshim, that's Zman, and Nokat is Nezikim, Kochim, and Taros. And it will be a little bit out of order over here for various reasons, but he gave us these examples, so we have one almost from every Seder. So what are the examples he gave us? So he tells us, Chamisha lo yitrumu truma, that 5 people aren't allowed to go and separate truma, to be mafresh truma. Otherwise, other people can be mafresh truma. We won't go into all of these dinim right now, but that's an example. It teaches us 5 people that can't be separating truma. Similarly, chamisha dvarim chayav mechala. There are 5 grains that are mechuyav in chala, the classical 5 grains. Wheat, barley, spelt, oat, and rye. So chamisha dvarim chayav mechala. They have the obligation to take off chala from them, the truma that is known as chala, when you bake a dough of a certain size. Next, chamisha esrei noshim peturus mitzvah saying that there are 15 women that exempt you from doing yibum. The person is married to 2 different wives, and Nebuchadnezzar dies childless. So then, if one of the wives would be forbidden to his brother, so then there would be no chiv of yibum, even on the wife that is permitted to his brother. Again, that's the first Mishnah in Yevamos, which we won't go into details right now, but that's, again, 15 women. So these are mnemonics to help you remember all of those dinim. Shlosh v'sheish krisis b'torah. Likewise, there are 36 lo sases that give us karis rachmona l'slan if a person transgresses them. There are 2 mitzvahs sases. That's bris milah and carbon pesach, which we're in right now. This very important concept of bringing the carbon pesach, and you have to be a non-RL. You have to have a bris milah. So those are the only 2 ases we have karis, and the 36 lo sases we should get karis for. So again, this mnemonic 36. Then the shlosh sases dover ne'emru b'nevelas ha'ov tar. There are 13 dinim regarding a nevelas ha'ov tar. If a kosher species bird didn't have a proper shechita done to it, so it becomes a nevela. But as opposed to animal nevelas, which are metame by touching them or moving them, so this is only metame in this situation by eating it, by swallowing it when it's in the besa bliya. So there are 13 dinim that are said in regards to nevelas of tar. And finally, arbovus nezikin, there are 4 damaging agents that we start learning about at the beginning of Baba Kama. You have the shor, you have the bor, you have the eish, and maveh, which the Gemara in Bava Kama has a whole discussion as to what that is. In any event, that's the Arba Ovos Nezikin. And finally, from Shabbos, we have Avos Melochos, Arboim Choser Achas. There are 39 Melochos, 40 minus 1 Melochos, in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. So this is where we have Sofrim that the Chachamim counted up. They made these mnemonics to help us remember all of this. Then the Gemara continues. Now the Girsa that we have is Omar Rabbi Eliezer. We have in parentheses Rabbi Acha. However, many of the Mefarshim on the Daf say the correct Girsa should be Rabbi Acha and not Rabbi Eliezer. In any event, whoever it was said, Ksiv, it says, in Ezra, it tells us, Ezra HaKoin HaSofer, it calls Ezra HaKoin the Sofer, and then it says, Sofer Divrei Mitzvos Hashem, L'chuk of Yisrael. So it repeats the word Sofer, Ezra HaKoin HaSofer, and then it says that he is a Sofer. So the Gemara asks, Ma Tam Olam HaSofer, why does that tell you? You just told me it's Ezra HaKoin, he's the Sofer. Why are you telling me he was the one that counted? You told me he's the counter. So Elok, Yishem Shoy HaSofer, B'Divrei Torah, just like he would count up the words in the Torah, Ezra's Sefer Torah was the perfect Sefer Torah, it was the most correct Sefer Torah, so everybody knew they could go take the Sefer Torah from the Azor, which was the Sefer Torah of Ezra, and they would go and make all the other Sefer Torah from that. Kacha Yosef, he also was very mendactic to transmit over the Torah Shabbal Peh. So therefore, Ezra is known as a Sofer for both of these things that he did so well. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Chagai, B'shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman said the following, the Tiklun Karetin explains that they're going to be Choshev Tezvav Molochus of Pas. They're going to be 15 things that are made in the processing of bread, to make bread. And why specifically bread? The Fishat Torah Nikreis Lechem. The Torah is referred to as the bread. And therefore it says, L'chu Lachmu B'lachmi. Go take my bread that I've given you. And he brings down that this 15 idea over here is a very important idea, and that's why it's listing these 15 things. And we'll get to the point that we're going to make in the Gemara in a moment. So he says, these are the 15 things that are in the making of bread. Harishonim, the first people, the Talmidei Chachamim, they harshu, they plowed, and they zaru, they planted. Nikshu, they took out the weeding, they took out all the growths that were not appropriate. Kishu, they then also trimmed the field as needed. Odru, they also plowed it again. Eder, they went and did more of a plowing. Kotsru, they harvested it. Imru, they put it all together in piles. Doshu, they then threshed it. Zoru, they winnowed it. And Baru, and then they picked out the good from the bad. And then Tochanu, they ground it all up. Hirkidu, they did additional sifting of it. And then Loshu, they added water to this flour and grain, and they kneaded it. Kitfu, they then put it into its shape, into the proper form, and offu, and then they baked it. So these 15 steps, they did. So in other words, the Talmidei Chachamim prepared all the Torah that they learned in such a detailed, pure way. V'anu, but Nebuch, Rav Chagai, in the name of Rav Shmuel ben Nachman, said, us, either the gear says, ein lanu malecho, we have nothing to eat, or ein lanu pelecho, we don't have a mouth to go and eat it. In other words, niskatnu adoros, over time, we have become much, much lower in our ability to learn Torah. They used to do 15 steps over here, and we can't even take the beautifully baked bread and eat it. We don't even have the ability to take what they've done and use it. Mark continues and says, Rabbi Abba Bar, now the Gersa that we have is Yonah, but that's in parentheses, and it should be Zemina. So we'll go, Rabbi Abba Bar Zemina, B'shem Rabbi Ze'era, said as follows, in Havon Kadmoyin Malochin, if you say that the earlier Torah greats are like angels, so then Anan B'nei Enosh, then we're like people. Compared to them, we're people. Compared to them being angels. However, the in Havon, B'nei, Enash, if you're going to say that they are people, so then we're not people. Then Anan, Chamorim, then we're just donkeys. We don't even reach the level of being a person compared to the predecessors in Torah before us. I'll give you an example of this. Bahi Shaita Amrin, at that time. Now, what does it mean at that time? So the Mepharshim explained that Yerimia had once sent to Rabbi Zeira some food that wasn't taken off Trumas and Maisers. And he just assumed that Rav Zeira would definitely not go and eat it without taking off Trumas and Maisers himself. But Rav Zeira assumed that Rav Yirmiyah would never have sent him something if it wasn't taken off Trumas and Maisers. And therefore, Rav Zeira unfortunately ate it without having taken off Trumas and Maisers. So Bahai Shaita, at that time, Rav Zeira said, "Oi, look how weak we have become. Afilu kechamrase de Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. We're not even at the level of the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. The donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, as we're going to have in a story right now, wouldn't eat something that didn't have Trumas and Maisers taken from it. And I, supposedly a great tzaddik, no protection at all from me eating something that didn't have Trumas and Maisers taken from it." And the Gemara tells us the story about Rav Pinchas ben Yair's donkey, one of the most famous stories in all of Shas. Chamrasei, the Rav Pinchas ben Yair, the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, was stolen. Ginapta. Some thieves came and took it. Listoi Belelia, these armed robbers came and took his donkey in the middle of the night. Avdas Temira Gabon Tlos Yomim. And they kept his donkey with them for 3 days. They hid it away in the forest with them, wherever they were. Below Tama Klum, but the donkey refused to eat. Now, they were going to have a dead donkey pretty soon. Bosa Tlos Yomim, After 3 days, he said, this is a waste of our time. Imlachun machzirata. They decided to go and return the donkey. They didn't want to say, have a dead donkey. Amrei, afkinu and minhocha. Let's get rid of this donkey from us now. The lo tamo zgabon. It's going to die in our possession. And then if we do get caught, we'll mistama be in a lot worse trouble because now, in addition to stealing, we also killed their donkey. So therefore, let's bring it back. So afkuna, they set it free and Azlas, the donkey went, the Komaslo, Al Tara Demore, and it went back to the gate. The Tara is the Shar, the Shin and the Tuf are interchangeable, went back to the gate of Demore, of Rapinchas Binyar. And Sharyas Minakas, and it started to neigh, and it started to make all the sounds that a donkey makes. So the people opened up the gate. Omalon, Rapinchas Binyar said to his Talmidim, to his servants, Paskulin Lahador, Aluvasa, going up at the gate for this Oni, for this poor person, meaning the donkey, this Nebuchadnezzar, this donkey that had been stolen from him. And he knew the Isla Tlos Yom, the little Tomaklum. He knew his donkey wouldn't eat anything, and therefore he said, open up the gate for my poor little Oni donkey over here that must be starving. Paskin law of all this law. So they opened up the gate for the donkey and they brought the donkey inside. Amalon, Rapinchas Binyar told his Talmidim, he told his servants, Yavu law klum techo, go and bring the donkey something to eat, it's hungry. So Yavu kuma sorin, they brought in front of the donkey barley, which is the typical donkey food, but the donkey wouldn't eat it. So they asked Rapinchas Binyar, what's going on? So Amin lay, Rabbi lo boy slanecha, the donkey doesn't want to eat. So I'm alone. So he told the Talmidim, he told the servants, Misaknin inun, have you go and gotten rid of all the impurities, the psolis, the Tikkun Chatkin says, that are inside this food that you're giving to the donkey? So I'm alone. He said, yeah, of course. So I'm alone. He told them, Varimtun demayon, did you go and take off, this is demai, did you go and take off Trumus and Mises from this food? Demai is dumai, what status does it have? It was bought from Amaratzim, and there was a chance that they didn't take off Trumus and Mises. So the rabbis instituted that you have to take off Trumas and Maisers. But this is only for something that human beings are going to eat. So they said to their Rebbe, they said to Rabbi Pinchas Binyar, Amulei, lo kein alfun Rebbe, didn't the Rebbe teach us? Halokeach zera lebehema, if you go and buy food for an animal, or kemach lioris, or if you buy flour for tanning of hides, or shemen, if you buy oil for the purposes of light, not for eating purposes, part of it not to buy, then the rabbis never instituted taking off Trumas and Maisers again. They only did it for human consumption. So I'm alone. Rapinchas Binyar said, what can I say? Ma nevad lo lahada luvusa. What can I do about this poor donkey over here? Dimachmura al garmo sagyan. She's a very big machmir. She's machmir on herself that she won't eat something that doesn't have trumas and mices taken off from it. Viarima and damyan. They took off the trumas and mices from this demai. Viachlus and the donkey ate to its heart content. Now what exactly is going on over here? So the Mepharshim explained one of two possibilities, that this food actually was originally being, this barley was for human consumption, and therefore it actually was Mechuyav in Trumas and Maisus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that not even the donkey of Pinchas Binyar would do something wrong. Others say that this was his own personal chumra, that Pinchas Binyar would take off Dumai, he would take off Trumas and Maisus and Dumai no matter what, even if it was not for human consumption. In any event, the point of this story is that even the donkey of Pinchas Binyar didn't make a mistake, and Nebuch, Reb Zera bemoaned that already in his generation, after Reb Pinchas Binyar, they weren't given that same protection. They didn't reach that same madrega of Kedusha and Tahara. Then we quote the Mishnah where it says, Pesach el kinim, Pesach was Mordechai, he's in charge of the kinim. And the Gemara says, Bore, come and see, my God, Lukoch Shalosu Ish, how great was Pesach your Mordechai, how great he was. Poseach Dvorim Vidorshan, he's able to open things up and darshan them. For example, we'll see in the Gemara in a moment. Yodeh b'shivim lashon. We quote the Mishnah said he knew 70 languages. So Tani, we learn in the Brisa Sanhedrin sheyesh bo shnayim shichol medaber. If you have Sanhedrin that has two judges, they're able to speak all the 70 languages. All of the Sanhedrin had to understand the 70 languages because otherwise it would be a dover. They would be hearing edos from a second person. It's dover pi dover. You have to hear it directly. So they all have to understand it, but lav dafka they all have to speak it. So if Sanhedrin had at least two people that could speak all the 70 languages, so then the chul and ruin lishma, as long as all of them can hear and understand the 70 languages, that's considered a acceptable Sanhedrin. Harezu Re'uyel Sanhedrin. Okay, that qualifies as a Sanhedrin. If you have three people that can speak all the languages, Shlosha, Harezu Beninus. That's already an average Sanhedrin. And if you have Arba, Harezu Chachoma, that's the optimal Sanhedrin. If you have at least four people that can speak all the 70 languages, that's a great Sanhedrin. And in fact, it was. Ubi Yavna, Hoyubo Arba, when the Sanhedrin was in Yavna, they did have four people that spoke all the 70 languages. Who are those four people? So the Girsan Yerushalmi here is Ben Azai, Uben Zoma, Uben Chachinai, Ferbeloza Ben Masya. Or alternatively, it says, Nam Yamrinan, Hananya ben Chanilo. Others have a different listing over here in the Bavli. In any event, these are the four people that spoke all 70 languages and the rest of the Sanhedrin. The Pasha Pshat is they understood all 70 languages, but they loved Afka could speak them. Now, What was so special about Pesach? Yeah, Amr Chista. Pam Achas Yov Sheretz Yisrael. One time there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo Yodu Mehechel Mahav Yomer. And they didn't know where they would be able to bring the barley that was necessary for the Korban Omer on the first day of Cholamai Pesach, which was, for example, yesterday in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, V'lo Yodu Mehechel Mahav Yomer. How could they bring the Korban Omer? They didn't have any barley because it was a drought. There was one person over there that couldn't speak and couldn't hear, and therefore he was difficult to communicate with. So he put one hand on top of a gag, and the other hand he put on top of a tent, a little hut, a tzrif. So Aitune Kamei the Pesachi, nobody understood what he was referring to, that he brought in front of Pesachia and Amalu. So Pesachi asked all the people around him when he saw what this Elaim was doing. He said, "Is Asar, is there a place called Asar Vasar, any place, the Miskari that is known as Gagos Tzrifin or Tzrifin Gagos? Is there a place around here that is known as the rooftop of the tent or the tent rooftop?" So they said, "Yes." I was leading the Taman. They went to this place called Gagos Tzrifin, the Ashkelon, and they found the barley over there. That's what this Elaim was telling them. Similarly, Amr Yosa. Now, we have the Gersa Yosa Bibin. The Bibin is parenthesis, so deleted. Bey Rabbi Bun, he was the son of Rabbi Bun. And Pamachas, Nishtav Kol Olam Kulam. One time there was a terrible destruction of all the crops. They all were blighted. And they didn't know where to bring the barley for the Korban Omer. Same story. There was one person there who didn't speak or didn't hear. Therefore, he was very difficult to communicate with. He put one hand on his eyes. Sukhra is like a place in the doorpost where they would put the bolt into the door. It was like a mezuzah where they would put the bolt into to lock the door. And that's what he pointed to. Nobody knew what he was talking about. So Yisun and the Gabi Pesachia, they brought him to Mordechai, to Pesachia, and he asked them, Amalon, he told all the people there, Is Asar, is there a place, the Miskari, that's known as Ein Socher or Socher Ayin? That's what he was showing. This Elaim was trying to show them these two words, Ein Socher, the eye and the doorpost. So is there a place that's known as Ein Socher or Socher Ayin? And there was. They went to this place, and they found that there was barley over there. Similarly, another time, Shalosh Noshim Viu Kineim, there were three women that brought their pair of birds. Now, I've mentioned already previously in the shiur today that there were two types of bird offerings. There were either two olos that a person brought as a voluntary type of korban, or there could be two birds that one was an ola and one was a chatas. Those were obligatory. For example, a woman who's a yoledes or a woman who's a zava or a man who's a zav, they bring a chatas and an ola bird if they're poor. In any event, these three women came, and the basic gist of this story is that each of them was seemingly saying that they needed to bring an ola and a chatas, but Pesachi was able to figure out that they actually were bringing a voluntary donation and it should be two olas. So the first woman said, Achas omeres leinosi, I'm bringing these birds leinosi. She said, I'm bringing it for this condition that I have leinosi. We'll see in a moment what that means. Achas omeres, one said liyamosi, I'm bringing it for this condition yamosi. The achas omeres lezivosi. And the third one said, I'm bringing it for my ziva. Now, the people around there thought all of them were referring to basically a zava, and therefore they would all have to bring an ola and a chatas bird. So Zush omeres leinosi, the woman that said leinosi, sovereign, the people thought, Neymar shofas kimayan. They said that she used this language of einosi because she was flowing like a mayan, like a spring, and therefore that meant that she was a zava gedola. And therefore, that she was bringing her korbanos, one is an ola, one is a chatas, to get her tar from being a zava. Amalon, ba'ayna sakantas. So Pesachi said, no, you're misunderstanding. He somehow knew that what she was saying was not that, but she was saying that I was endangered in my eye, and I'm bringing these birds as a voluntary thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're both olas. So that's what it means, ba'ayna sakant, that's what he's telling us. And likewise, Zush omeres liyamasi, the people thought that this woman was saying, sovereign, neymar shofas kiyam, that he's flowing like a river, like the lake, like the ocean, and therefore she was bringing a ziva, which would mean that she would bring a chatas and an ola. But again, Pesachi understood that that wasn't the case. Omalon, biyama sekant. She said, no, she almost drowned in the ocean, and therefore she's bringing these voluntary two olas to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the third one, Zusha Meres Lizivasi, that they certainly thought sovereign Meimar Zava Mavish. They said, that's clear that she's a Zava. But again, Pesachi said, no, I'm alone. She was saying, Ze'ev Ba'ali Toles Benah, that a wolf came to go and eat up her child, and the child was saved, and she's bringing two olas over here to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These stories illustrate how great Pesachi was. Then the Mishnah tells us, Ben Achia, this person was Ben Achia, who is in charge of all the diseases that the Kohanim got. Why did the Kohanim get so many intestinal diseases? Since they would walk barefoot on the ground all the time, they would eat lots of meat, and they weren't allowed to drink wine, the Tiklun Chadatin says, so therefore they had lots of water. And therefore, they would get lots of intestinal sicknesses. And somehow Ben Achia knew the cure for this. Which wine is good for the intestines? Dein Chamar Samomiyai, and which wine is also good for the intestines. One would make you have diarrhea, one would make you constipated, depending on what your problems were, so he knew which wines to give. Then the Mishnah said, Nechunya Chofer Shichin. Nechunya was the one who dug the wells for the people so that they would have water when they would be Olerega. More says, Shoyachofer Shichin Ma'aros. He knew how to dig these ditches and these caves over here in order that the people should have. Baba Yoda, we turned to Yudal and Amin Aleph, and he knew Haidein Kev Makoramaya, which rocks would be underneath them would be cold water. But Haidein Kif, under which rocks, is Be Sharvruve, from Shrab, from heat. There would be hot springs, Vahechon Shiravruse Macha, and how far these rocks, the streams underneath them, went. Now the Gemara tells us, Nebuch, Omar, now the Gemara says we as Rabbi Eliezer, but it really should be Rabbi Acha, so Meis Beno Batsoma. His son Nebuch died out of thirst, which is, again, strange, because his father was so involved in providing water for people, so Nebuch, his son, died of thirst. So Gemara says, Amar Rechanina, Mandi Amar Rachmana Vitron, anybody that says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu just gives in and doesn't care what we do, as the Karban Eda says over here, La'avar al-Kopishim, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu just forgets, so to say, about the sins that we do, so Yevasru B'nei Meyoy, his intestines should become passed over. In other words, he should have all sorts of medical problems that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't take care of his intestines. In other words, you can't just say Hashem doesn't care what we do. He cares very much, and anybody says that Hashem will forgive me without any consequences is making a terrible mistake. No, Kodesh Baruch Hu does have a midas rachamin, elamarich ruche. He gives us time to do tshuva, the gavi didei. But if you don't do tshuva, so then Kodesh Baruch Hu will go and make you pay for what you do. Gemara says, where do we know this from? Amar Biacha, this is based upon the pasuk siv. It says in Tehillim, Usvivav Nisarum Od, right around the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's a tremendous upheaval, there's a tremendous storm around the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we play on the word Nisara, Midakti Kimon Kichut Asara, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is judging the tzaddikim like the thin thread. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu is very exact with the hair, with the thin thread of the tzaddikim, play on this word Nisarum Od. A different drasha, Amar Yosi, we have the Girsa of Bar Oven, but it's in parentheses. He says, no, lo mi tam zeh. It's not based upon this pasuk, but ella min ma d'ksiv, but it's based upon a different pasuk in Tillim, where it says, v'nora, now we have the gear sahu, but that's not found in the Tillim that we have, so it should just be v'nora al kol svivav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in putting his fear upon all those that are around him. Mora al karovim, yosim and rechokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fear is more present on those that are close to him than those that are far away. In other words, the tzaddikim are judged more harshly than are the sinners that are farther away. One of the reasons behind this is that their punishment will be in this world and not in the world to come. In any event, Rav Chagai b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Nachman said the following: Ma'aseh b'chosid echad. We have a story with the chosid echad. Chosid echad is normally either Rav Yehuda ben Bava or Rav Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi. Here it's possible that it's also talking about this Nechunya. Different opinions amongst the poskim. In any event, Shoyachofer Boros Shichin Waros, he would go regularly dig up wells and ditches and caves for the people that were over the Regel, over the Mishabim, for the people who would have water when they would come and go. His daughter was once going to her wedding, and the river overflowed and swept her away, and everybody assumed she was dead. Everybody came to him to give him Nechama, to be Menachem of Avel, and they came to be Menachem him, and he did not accept the Nechama. The Korban Eder brings down that a person who's dead should be forgot, and therefore people accept Nechama. As opposed to Masha'ikin al-Chai, a person who's alive, the relatives will not accept Nechama. This is learned out from Yaakov Avinu, Vayimoyel in Snachim. Yaakov Avinu did not accept that Yosef was dead, and therefore he didn't accept the condolences, and he was constantly in mourning for Yosef. So the similar idea of being, this person who dug these ditches, this Chosid Echad, somehow knew that his daughter was still alive, and therefore he didn't accept Tanchumen. Lokibel Aloy Miss Nachma. He didn't accept it. All the Pichos in Yor Ligabes, so Pichos in Yor went to him, and boy Minamchante, and he tried to console him. Lokibel Aloy Miss Nachma, but he still didn't accept it, even from Pichos in Yor. So Pichos in Yor was very surprised. Amalon, he told all the people around him, Dein Hu Chasidchon, this is the one that you call the holy person, as the Korban Eda says, Lohen Zeu Chasidchem Bismia, you're calling this guy a holy guy? He says, a Shaila. Harry Boet Bemidas Adin. It's as if he doesn't accept Bemidas Adin. So Gemara says, no. Kach v'kach, Rebbe, they said to him, Omrulei, Rebbe, kach v'kach hoya ose. This is what this person does. He goes and digs all these wells and ditches for people. Kach v'kach erulei. If such a thing should happen to him, it doesn't make any sense. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu should punish him, bedavka, in this method. So Amar Rabbi Chizkiyahu said, "Efshar shoyim machabed is borer b'mayim. How is it possible? You're 100% right that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being honored by this person by building water, making water for all the holy regalim, from a kapel b'mayim, and he should punish it with water. It doesn't make any sense. You're 100% right." Yad Noflo Havor B'ir. Immediately, a voice came out, so to say, an echo came out from the city, that Boaz Bito Shol Zohish, that this person, this Oso Chassid, his daughter was found, that she was alive. It's the army. Some say, how did she survive? Besosa, with a branch, right? The branch of a tree somehow caught it, is Arius, and she was able to be saved by being caught on this branch. Yes, the Amr, others said, Malach Yorat, an angel came down, Kidumus Reb Pinchas ben Yair. It looked like Reb Pinchas ben Yair, Bitzila, and he saved her. And that's how this man was having his daughter saved, because he was so bedachtik in the mitzvah. And this is the obvious question. So how come Nechunya, the one who was chofer, all these wells for the other people, so it said his son died of thirst? So there are technical answers that are given, that there's a difference between dying of thirst as opposed to dying in the water. So even though he dug wells for people, but dying of thirst is not the same thing as drowning in the water. But a better answer is given over here in the Tiklun Charetin. He says, "Im hoya mechabed hakol bezihiras v'kovel l'shem shamayim v'lo pogam klal." If you did this mitzvah with absolute perfectness, so then you'll be protected from it. But somehow this Nechunya, Chofer, the one who dug over here these ditches, so he must have not done it in the most perfect of ways. And again, God judges those that are the most holy, b'chut asara, with a hair, and therefore he was somehow felt to be necessary to be punished. In any event, the Mishnah continues. We quote the Mishnah, Givini Kruz. The Givini was in charge of the calling out. What did he call out? Sheyamachas the Beis HaMikdash. He would announce in the Beis HaMikdash all the various things that people have to do. Maya Omer, what would he say? Imdu. He said, get up. Hakohen la'avoda. The Kohen knew, let's start the avoda. Ulevim, leduchanan. And Ulevim, get to your posts and go and get ready to sing. Yisrael ma'amodin. The Yisraels that were on the watch, they also had watches in the amongst the Yisraelim, because if the carbon seed was brought, so you have to have the Baal there. So they were the representatives of Klai Yisrael. So there was the Maimet. So they went and get to their places. And he would say this very, very loudly. One time, Agribus HaMelech, Shoma Koluach, Shmona Parsos, he heard his voice from 8 parsa. A parsa is 4 mil, so this is 32 mil. A mil is roughly a kilometer. So he was able to hear his voice from 32 kilometers away. He was amazed at this. He gave him unbelievable presents because this was such an amazing thing. Then the Mishnah said, Ben Gevra, Alnila Sharam. Ben Gevra was one in charge of locking up at night and opening up in the morning. Gemara says, Tirgim Rav explained, Kume de base Rabbi Shila, in front of the base medish of Rabbi Shela, the following, Kuro Gavra, Achris Kuroza. This man called out, and he announced. Now, we have the Girsa Omar, but it's really Omar Le. It's not only a single person. They said to him, and that's the Girsa that saw it, Amrun Le, they said back to Rav, the base medish of Rabbi Shela, said back to Rav, Amor Kuro Tarnagola. The Kuro means a rooster. But Rav didn't like that explanation. Omar alone, he said, Vosninan ben Gever. Our Mishnah says ben Gever. And it's the Flamema bar Tanagola, and you're saying it means a rooster? So the Mepharshim explained that both of them are correct. That actually the ben Gever over here is sometimes called a rooster. And we do have certain things where it says that the rooster crowed in the morning, and that's when certain things happen. But it also could mean that the person called out. So both versions are actually correct. Then we had next Ben Bavi Alapakia. We said that Ben Bavi was in charge of the wicks of the candles. Shaya Mezaveg or Mezayeg the Psilos. He would twist the wicks to a certain thickness. Rav Yossi, that's the Gersa we have. It also says Rav Asi. Oal Kufra. He went to a certain place called Kufra. Bo Mimanya Alayin Parnosim. And he wanted to point people to be the Parnosim of that town. So he was looking for Talmid Chacham to take over that position of being the Parnosim of that town. V'lo Kibla Mihin. But however, nobody wanted to take those positions of authority. All of Amar Kumein. So Rav Yossi went and told them, Ar Mishta Ben Bavi Ala Bakia. Ben Bavi was willing to become, he was a Talmid Chacham, and he was willing to be in charge of the Bakia. All he was willing to do was be in charge of the psilos. Nevertheless, yet he's counted amongst all the great people in the Mishnah. So Atem, you, Shatem Nismanin Achayin Nefashos, I'm putting you in charge not of wicks, I'm putting you in charge of the affairs of the town. That's Pikuach Nefashos, Lokoshkin. So certainly you should go and take this. The Mepharshim explained their hesitancy was either one of two reasons. Either the Tikkun Charetin says, the sonus arbonus, a person should not take positions of authority, should hate positions of authority. The rotsul of rochman covered, and they didn't want to accept the positions of importance over here. Or alternatively, inami chardu, they were of concern that maybe they would be matil ema, they would be in their leadership position, they would cause the people to be too fearful of them, and they were afraid of that. So that's why they didn't want to do this. But Rav Yossi told them, no, you have to go and do this. Somebody has to go do this, and therefore it's appropriate that you do this, and they did. Then the Gemara said, Ben Arza at Tzilzol, Ben Arza, he was the person in charge of the symbol. He held the Tina Taman, because we learned in a Mishnah, in Tamid, Heinef Haskan Bisudarim, when the Kohen Gadol was up on the top of the Mizbeach doing the Avodah, they couldn't see what was going down below. So the Skan, the Vice Kohen Gadol, would go and wave various flags, and then they knew that the Avodah was being done, the Hekish Ben Arza Bat Tzilzol, and Ben Arza went and go and clanged on the cymbals. Some of the gears are Al HaTzilzol, others the gears are Bat Tzilzol. In any event, that's how the Levim knew when to start singing. Then we said Hugras ben Levi al Ashir. This person, Hugras, was the son of Levi, or Hugras was a Levi. He was in charge of orchestrating the singing to be done properly. Amar Riacha, Riacha says, Ni'ima Yeseru HaYodea, that Hugras was had a beautiful voice. For Amar Olav al Hugras ben Levi, they said about him, Shahaya Manim Kolo Bezemer. He was unbelievably great voice. Shahaya Noe, it's good lo besoch bib. And he would put his thumb into his mouth. Haya Motzi Kama Mine Zemer. He was able to make all sorts of beautiful sounds. Vayu Kol Echav HaKohanim, and all the other Kohanim at that point in time, Nizrokin lo bevas rosh, they would be leaning back in awe of him. They would move away from him. They were turned away, thrown back because of the beauty of his voice. Others say that they tossed their own heads back and joined him in song. Then it says Beis Garmo, the family of Beis Garmo, they were in charge of Lechav Panim. So we have a very interesting story now that the Brisa brings down. Beis Karmo Yobakim, but Beis Lechav Panim over the Yoso. I'm going to keep the gears that we have. They're different gears. So it's easier just to read the gears that we have. So in Beis Karmo, they were very expert in knowing how to make the Lechav Panim. I said it was a difficult physical structure to have, either like a canoe or like these boxes with two sides on it. And they knew how to make it and to take it out of the oven that it shouldn't spoil and break. But Lord Ratzel Lamed, but they didn't want to teach anybody else. They knew this trick, and they didn't want to teach anybody else. They wanted to keep the business, so to say, as a family business. So Shaul Chacham and Chacham were not happy about this. So they sent they view Umnim Alexandria Mitzrayim. So they brought from Alexandria Mitzrayim other professional bakers that could do the same thing. They thought and they said, well, if you're trying to have a monopoly upon the lechem upon him, we're going to go bring in other people. But they knew how to make it, but they didn't know how to take it off without breaking it. And the difference was as follows. And again, I'll keep the gears that we have. They would go heat it up on the inside, and but then they would remove it on the outside after it was baked. And this way it wouldn't spoil as well. But these people from Alexandria, Mitzrayim, these bakers, they would go heat it up on the inside, and they tried to take it out from what was inside the oven. And it would break and it would spoil. Knew, they saw that really the Beis Gamma were the only people that really knew how to make the Lechem upon him. Once the Chacham realized that they made a mistake, Amru, they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything in the world, including these people, Beis Gamma, that knew how to do this for his glorification. That everything that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu made is to glorify Hashem's name. So therefore, they sent after the Beis Karmo and said, come back, we want to reinstate you to be the bakers. But they said, no, nothing to do it, we're not coming back. You got rid of us, so we're gone. No, they said, we want you back. So they doubled their wages. Originally, they were getting 12 mana, the stomach for the year, and so they doubled it. They gave them 24 mana for the year. Everything was doubled. Originally, they were getting 24, now they're getting 48. The Chacham said to them, why did you want to keep this as a family business? Why did you tell other people how to do this? It's such an important thing. So Amulahan, they said, and it's a positive thing, they said, Masorah should be Yodeno. We have a Masorah Me'avosenu, that we have a tradition from our fathers. Shenebach Habayis Hazeh Osed L'Charvet. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And what's going to happen if our secret is let out? So then they're going to use our secret, how to bake the Lechem upon him to glorify an Avodah Zarah. Shol Yimudu Acherim, the Asal of the Avodah Zarah Shalhen. So if other people know our trick, so instead of it being used in the Beis HaMikdash, Rechmono Litzlan is going to be used in the Beis Avodah Zarah. That's why we don't tell anybody. Now, this was their explanation, and that's why we said originally in the Mishnah Yuma, and you could learn it, that they were also Zohar Latov, that they weren't included for bad like it originally sounds, because they had an explanation. However, Al Gemara here doesn't fully accept this, because it doesn't say that they were Zohar Latov for that. It says, but they nevertheless praised the family of Beis Garmo because of the following. Their children never brought in Pasnikia. When the kids brought to school their sandwiches, they never brought in Pasnikia. They never took for lunch Pasnikia, because people would say, hey, I know where they got that Pasnikia. They stole from the Lechem upon him. No. Shalo yu omrim mimasim lechem upon him imochim. So nobody would ever accuse them of eating lechem upon him. They had a custom in their family that they would never eat bread that was like the lechem upon him. So nobody would accuse them falsely. Similar story, Beis Avtinus al Maisei Ketores. The Mishnah told us that Beis Avtinus was in charge of the Ketores. So we have a Brisa that says almost the exact same story as with Beis Carmel. So it says, we'll keep the gears that we have. So Beis Avtinus hayu bekiin al Maisei Pita Maktores over Mala Oshin. They knew how to do the Pita Maktores, and they knew what was the Mala Oshin, which had this property that it allowed the smoke to rise straight up and not spread out. The Lord said, but they didn't want to teach anybody else. So again, the Beis Hamikdash in charge, they said, okay, we're going to get other people to do your work if you don't want to tell us how to do this. And while you're Bukim, Peter Maktaris, they brought in these experts from Alexandria in Mitzrayim that knew how to do the Peter Maktaris. However, but they didn't know how to do the Mala Oshin. They didn't know what that was in order to make the smoke rise up straight. When the Beis Avtinus made the Ketores, it would rise straight up like a stick, and only then, when it hit the ceiling, the pulse of your redness, it would spread out throughout the entire Beis HaMikdash. But when they made it, these Alexandrian experts, when they made it, it would disperse itself right away. When the Chacham saw that they made a mistake, they said, Kosh Baruch Hu makes everything for his own glorification. And here they use a different pasuk, at least the first version. Anything that is made, Kosh Baruch Hu made it for his honor. Alternatively, Nami Omer, some of the gears of the first pasuk that we brought down, in any event, whichever pasuk they brought, that showed this point. So they wanted to bring back the Beis Avtinus people to do this Pita Maktaris. Shoch Reim, they sent after them to come back. They said, no, we're not coming back. You got rid of us, we're not coming back. So they doubled their wages. They doubled the amount of salary that they got. Originally, originally we're getting 12 mana for the year. So they doubled it to 24. Alternatively, Rehuda says here as well. Originally it was 24. Now they got 48. Armulahan, why did you want to teach anybody else how to do the Mali Oshim and how to do the Ketores? So I'm land. They said the same exact terrors. We have a Mesorah from our fathers that Nebuch, the basic thing is going to be destroyed. Shabbai says, we don't want anybody else to do this. They'll use this in the base of Avodah Zarah. Again, the rabbis accepted this, but it wasn't why they praised them. And again, they now give them a reason why they praised the family of Avtinus. Because none of them ever wore perfume, because people would say, I know why she smells so good. They stole the Pita Maktaris. And therefore, they wouldn't go and let their wives or their daughters or their family members go out wearing perfume. And furthermore, if somebody wanted to marry into their family, if they marry a woman who came from someplace else, they had to agree, she would never be allowed to wear perfume. So people shouldn't say that's why they smell so nice, because they're taking the Pita Maktaris spices for themselves. And this, both stories, the story of Beis Carmel and Beis Avtinus, this is to fulfill that which is said we had early in the Masechta. It's not enough that Hashem knows that you didn't do anything wrong, but you have to make sure that Klai Yisrael knows you didn't do anything wrong. Rav Yossi said, one time I was walking in Yerushalayim, and I found a child who came from the family of Avtinus. I said, Bini, which family you come from? So he said, I come from the family of Avtinus. I said to him, Bini, Avosecha Lefish Niskabdu L'Rabos Kvoda, your forefathers, your family, they tried to make themselves great. They aggrandized themselves by not telling anybody else how to do the Pita Maktaris. So therefore, they were Ulamai Kvod Shemayim, they minimized the Kvod Shemayim, that only they knew it and nobody else did. So Lefiko Kvodim Nismai, therefore, they were ultimately reduced in their stature, in their Kvod, or Kvod Shemayim Nisrabah. And yet, the covenant of Shemayim is Nisrabah, or others say it stayed in the same place, that it never was diminished. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Kiva said, Sochli Shimon ben Loga, one time Shimon ben Loga told me, Malaki Risiasov, I was once going collecting various grasses, not by himself, I was going with one of the children from the family of Avtinus, or Risa, so Shibacha, and I saw he was crying. Risa was Sochak, and I saw that he was laughing. So he saw something, and what did he see? Amarti lo, Bini, Lama Bachi saw, why did you cry? So Amar Li said, I'll cover Shabbos Abbas in spite, because my family no longer does bringing the Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash. Their covered has gone down. Why did you smile? Amar Li, I'll cover Hemesukah and the Tzadikim Osilov, because eventually they will return and the Tzadikim will be able to do again the Pita Maktaris. Umari, so what made you smile when you saw something? What made you cry when you saw something? So he said, Mali Oshin Lenegdi, I see the Mali Oshin right in front of me. Nun, Umesi Lo, I said to him, Bini, which one is it? Harei Oli. Because there were many different grasses over there, and he didn't know which one. So Amali, the little child, said, Rebbe, I'm sorry. Masoris biyodi mevosai, we have a family tradition, shlo laroso libriya. We don't show it to anybody. I can't even show it to you, even though you're a great Talmud Chacham. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri said, now we have the gear, so Malakad Yisiyasav and Yivazokin Echad. Some have that gear so that he and another person, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri and this older man, were collecting. Others have the gear, so Pogib Yizokin Echad, Mishal Beis Haftinos, or an elderly person from the house of Beis Haftinos met up with me, Umagila Samon Biyodo. He had a scroll in his hand that had all the list of the spices. Amar, he said to me, Rabbi, he told Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, Lishaavar Hayabis Abot Snui. In the previous days, when my family was very careful with their secrets, Bahayu, and we turned to your Dalad Amubays, Bahayu, most they only kept this family in the family, but now now that my family is not so trustworthy anymore, the people Nebuch aren't the same. So I'm giving you this Megillah, and you watch it, because I trust you, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, more than I trust the members of my family that aren't so good. Rabbi Yochanan Uri told this to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva cried. Zolgu ein of the most. His tears rolled down his face. From now on, that's the gifts that we have. Others have Rashayin, Laskir and Lignai. We no longer have to go and say the Beis Haftinah's family did something wrong. Or we're no longer allowed to go and say that the Beis Haftinah's family did something wrong, because look and see that their reason for not giving it over to anybody else was really emistic and not just a made up story. Finally, the Mishnah tells us Elazar was in charge of the Parochas, Shamuna al Orge Parochos. He was in charge of the women that would make the temple curtains. Finally, the last one, Pinchas al Hamalbush, the Pinchas that was in charge of the dressing. So Shoyam Malbush, Big Dekuna Gedolah. He would go and put the garments, the Big Dekuna, on the Kohen Gadol, as well as the other Kohanim. And then the Gemara just tells us, Maisib Kohen Echad, the ones who was a Kohen, Shehobish li Stratios Echad, he dressed up a certain officer of the Goyim, Benasal Shmon Zhuvim, and this officer was so impressed with him, he dressed him so nicely, he gave him 8 golden coins. This, the Amun, others say, it was 12 golden coins, Treasre Yodle, gave him 12 golden coins for this wonderful job that he dressed him. Now we go to Mishnah Beis. Ain't posting Yeshiva Amar Kolin. We don't have less than 7 people that are officers of a certain type. Amar Kolin means Amar Kol, they say everything. Ushloshu Gizborim, and there are 3 treasurers. They would do the bidding of these Amar Kolim. And we never had less than 2 people in any position of financial responsibility, because this way there's no questions of trust. The one exception to this was the Ben Achia. We had the previous Mishnah. He was in charge of the doctor, in charge of all the intestinal problems. So he had this position of authority on his own. And likewise, Elazar was in charge of the Parochas. He also was by himself. Why? Because everybody accepted them. They were so trustworthy. Mar starts off and says, "Ain post kimishlosh gizbar mishiva makolim." We never had less than 3 of these gizbar and shiva makolim. Tani, we learn in the brisa, they're also above them. Mishnei kaslikin, there were 2 kaslikin that were above them as well. One pasuk says, "V'ichol," and I'll read it the proper way. "V'azazyahu v'nachas," that's the real pasuk. Gizbar, they were the 3 treasurers. "V'asol v'irimos v'yozovod v'eliel v'yisamchoyo u'machas u'vinoyo," these were the amakolim. They were the 7 people that were above the 3 treasurers. Then the Pekidim, they were the Maskilin, Miyad Kavanyahu, Vishimi Ochiv. They were the Koslikin. They were the people in charge over them. The Mifkad Yechizkio HaMelech, Vazaryo Nigid. And who was in charge of them? Beis Elokim, the Nigid Beis Elokim. There was the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. Now, the way they would go and do this was as follows. Kishu Chosem, when they would go and seal up the money at the Trumas Halishka, Hagizbar Chosem, first they would have the guys in charge of the treasury seal it and sign it, Benosel Amarkol. Then they would give it to the Amarkol, he would check it out, and the Amarkol Chosem Benosel Kaslikin, he would go and sign it and seal it and give it over to the Kaslikon, who they would do the same thing. Kaslikon, Chosem Benosel Kohen Gadol, they would give it to Kohen Gadol, who would do the same thing. Kohen Gadol Chosem Benosel Melech, okay, and this was to make sure that everything was done properly. But they would undo it, Kishu Matir, Hamelech Roh Chosem. The king would see that it wasn't touched, his seal was intact, and he would open it up. The Kohen Gadol would do the same thing. Kohen Gadol, Roach Chosom Matir, Kaslikin, Roach Chosom Matir, they would do the same thing. Amar Kol, Roach Chosom Matir, Gizbar, Roach Chosom Matir. Everybody saw that their seal was unbroken, and this way they knew that everything was intact. Then Gemara said, "Einos and Sral at Zibor, B'mom Pochus B'shtayim." We always have at least 2 people in regards to financial things. Rav Nachman Mishim Ramana. Hashem Ve'imichu Es Zovis, the Chelik says to Argoman, says Behem, which is the minimal of Rabim, is 2. Thing where it says, Amar Rav Nechemi, that's the gifts that we have, but we have the after parentheses, Amar Rechoma Be Rav Chanina, Mipsolus Shaluchos Heshim Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu got rich because of the Psolus of the Luchos. Because one pasuk says, Psolucha Shnei Luchos Avonin, and Psolucha means Shetea Psolus Shaluchot. You'll get all the leftovers. Amar Rechanin, Machtsev Shalavonim Tovos, Margolios, Bora lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch halo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Moshe Rabbeinu all these precious stones. Umenu Heshem Moshe. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu got so wealthy. Except it says in the Pasuk in Shmos, V'hibitu achrei Moshe ad boa ola. They all looked after Moshe Rabbeinu when he entered into the Ohel Moed. Train Amorayim. We have two different versions over here from two different Amorayim. One said Chadam Ol Lignai. One said it as a negative way. V'chadam Ol Shevach. One said in a positive way. Mandam Ol Lignai. One said in a negative way. The people were saying about Moshe Rabbeinu, Chamun Shokin. Look at his thighs, how thick they are. Chamun Karin. Look at his leg, how thick they are. Chamun Kupai. Look at his flesh. It's so fatty. He's living off us. He's eating up all of our food. And he's drinking all of our money. Moshe Rabbeinu is stealing from us. Call me delay, mean that you die. Anything that he has is stolen from us. On the other hand, Umandi Omer Shvach once said it in a positive way. He said, no, the people said, wow, look at that Moshe Rabbeinu. Halavai, mechame tzadikaya umezake, tuvia dezochas lemechme yose. Oh, we are so fortunate that we get to look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Imagine that we're so fortunate that we're able to see Moshe Rabbeinu. What a great zuchus for us. So some darshan in a positive way, some darshan did in a negative way. This is a good break point. We'll stop the shir over here. Mitzvah Shem, we caught up. One daf.